Christian baptism belongs both to the heart of the Christian life and to the life of the Christian church. The Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, spoke these words to his disciples. He said to them, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." 50 or so days later at Pentecost, when Peter preached Jesus Christ as the risen Messiah, Savior, multitudes turned to Jesus Christ. They cried out, "What must we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Baptism in water is a visible and public sign of at least four basic Christian truths. It tells us, first of all, that we are sinners before a holy God who need to be washed clean from our sin. It tells us, secondly, that only the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, can cleanse us from our sin. It tells us, thirdly, that the Christian life is lived in communion or fellowship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are baptized into the name, that is, into the communion and fellowship and friendship of our Creator, who is now in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And fourthly, baptism signifies to us that the Christian life is lived in fellowship with other Christian believers. The great multitude at Pentecost who turned to Jesus Christ, who were convicted of their sin before God, we are told that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, and to the prayers. In other words, they devoted themselves to the life and fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ. Baptism brings us into that commonwealth of faith and establishes our lives in the family, the visible family of the living God. There is then the question of who should be baptized. Obviously, people who have come to see their absolute need of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse them from their sin and to put them right with God, they should be baptized. But also the Bible tells us that the infant children of Christian believers should be baptized. Now, why should that be? Not because it would be a nice thing to do for little children, but because God from the beginning has embraced little children, the children of believing men and women, in his covenant of grace. God commanded Abraham, Genesis 17, to set the sign of belonging upon his male infant seed. God was signifying that these helpless infants belonged to his covenant of grace. They belonged to the visible community of the people of God. These helpless infants knew nothing of what was going on. But the great point being made is not that we and our children are the centerpiece of God's purposes, but that God himself is the centerpiece of his purposes. And so first in circumcision and now in Christian baptism, God is placarding his grace, his unmerited kindness and mercy to the undeserving and the helpless. God is showcasing the extravagance of his grace, which always precedes faith. That's why in the New Testament we read in the book of Acts on four occasions, well, three certainly and fourth most probably, of household baptisms. They understood that God's purposes were household-wide, that God embraced the helpless as well as the professing in his covenant of grace. Because the fundamental truth embedded in Christian baptism is not what it says about us that we have believed, but what it says about God, that he is full of grace. And this is the great message of the Bible. God is merciful and kind to the helpless, the powerless, and the completely undeserving. Baptism is the public sign that a Christian is a Christian. So if your words, your thoughts, your actions shout out that you are not actually a Christian, it's not your baptism that you are denying, though you are. It is the God of baptismal grace that you are denying. So David and Sarah, before God, in a moment you will have questions to answer. You are God's principal means of bringing up Molly and Emily in the nurture and discipline of Christ. You have both been greatly blessed of God by being planted in families that love the Saviour. And it is your responsibility to train up these dear little girls in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they might never know a day that the Saviour was not their Saviour and the Lord was not their Lord.